Welcome again to session four of our Technology Matters panel discussion, our final for today. Our next technology panel is about peer-to-peer technology. So let me start by saying that when I think about peer-to-peer technology, I immediately think of things like BitTorrent and all the press surrounding illegal file sharing. But I think we must also not forget that things like instant messaging and Skype are also examples of this kind of technology as a sort of technique. And I was wondering if any of you had a particular way of understanding the spirit of peer-to-peer technology.
Well, in a speech back in 2006, Rupert Murdoch, CEO of Newsweek, I think.
News Corporation,
thank you for that. He actually said that societies and companies that expect a glorious past to shield them from the forces of change driven by advancing technology will fail and fall. And I thought it was really interesting because he's got this very direct idea that we need to make use of these new technologies that are coming out, even if right now they're being used primarily for downloading music illegally.
Sure.
I think like the essence of peer-to-peer right now is basically like freedom and like the spread of information using like open source and like not charging anyone to share all this information. And unfortunately, mostly it's gone to piracy, and that's where most of the legal issues come in, because people aren't using it just for information but also to bootleg and distribute non-copyrighted material.
Or copyrighted material, but also non-copyrighted. Yeah.
Yeah, back then people had like the word pirate. So if you think of the word pirate, it has like a negative connotation that people used to think of like stealing things and bad people. But now that like we're in the new age of technology, the word pirate probably should be like redefined, or a new word should replace it. And I was wondering what you guys think about that.
Well, I mean, the whole, you know, calling Americans Yankees, I mean, that actually comes from a Dutch word, Yankee, which is pirate. And that's because we completely ignored copyright laws when we were sort of industrializing. And I think that's interesting. We're like, you know, don't be a pirate. But we were pirates. But, you know, it was okay then.
Do as I say, not as I do, or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is, I'm worried about is, like, for my topic, I was talking about more of how threat of PCP, and then so PCP is pretty foreign to a lot of people right now, especially like a lot of old people. Like, no offense, but it's like it's not more such as Facebook. Back then, like a few years ago, like, Facebook was pretty new, and like only the young people use it, right? But nowadays, like all, like even my mom and dad use Facebook right now too. So I think it's just this thing that's slowly coming about, and it's just a matter of time before it's like a time bomb everyone's gonna use it.
Yeah, I mean, the speed of adoption of these technologies and the sort of sense that they've become naturalized, I don't know that my immediate example of BitTorrent is like the most popular way of thinking about this, but Skype, for instance, is been given a lot of press, both positive and negative, and people have been adopting that to sort of do peer-to-peer video conferencing or video phone experiences, and it seems like it's only going to increase because of its efficacy, right? Its uses, yeah.
Yeah, and I wrote on open source software and how that relates within peer-to-peer. And whether we know it or not, like 65% of all web servers use Apache as their operating mm-hmm. system. 40% of large American companies use Linux for their managing, and Google's search engine also uses Linux. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, all you are render on Linux. So I mean, even though it's not like Surface that we're using open source software, you're still interfacing with it daily.
Sorry for interrupting, but I love how you mentioned open source technology, because I think that if we're in this, you know, networked society revolution, then open source are sort of the tools of the revolution. And one of the examples that I had actually was the Nutella network was actually, you know, it's one of the biggest networks in the world right now. And it was actually put on the internet and taken down hours later, but they put the source code up. And something like thousands of people had already downloaded and distributed it. And I think because it's a, you know, it's based on a very decentralized system, it's very, very hard to kill. So, you know, this change is going to happen. We need to sort of roll with it.
And this is something that's being used. I mean, it's sort of been reported in the press about the way that WikiLeaks will protect its information, given the fact that they can't, in particular, websites can be taken down or data can be confiscated in the physical drives or something. But distributing it through peer-to-peer technologies and sort of moving away from this server and client model to a distributed, not only distributed data, but peer-to-peer sharing of that data, actually is not only more efficient in terms of distribution speeds, because the more popular a file is, the faster it will go for the downloader, but also it won't tax the person for it being popular, right? Because you know, when it's distributed in that way, you know, your popularity doesn't make you incur all sorts of distribution costs that you can't handle. So, but not only that, but it's also more flexible because of its distribution.
I have both of those words written right here.
Yeah. So, sorry to talk over it, but
oh no, don't worry about it. I love that we're having a conversation. But but I think, you know, we sort of moved with the internet. We moved to this very participatory model of media, where we're like. And one of the examples that this guy that wrote Cognitive Surplus says is the log cabin. You know, it's got this embedded sort of message that you can play this game too. So it's kind of, he calls it the stupidest possible creative act, but it's the stupidest possible creative act that we can all do. And something, you know, I thought it was ridiculous at first, but Cheeseburger Incorporated, which actually owns all those media sites, just got a $30 million investment from the Foundry Group, which is a legitimate informatics investment group. And I think, you know, what the Network Society did for actually creating information, peer-to-peer is doing for its distribution. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of flattening that, and it's making you know, the tools of distribution are available to not just corporations and people with a lot of money. Anybody can share a file that they made or that they stole.
A lot of my paper was actually about that and about how we're in a time when these tools are available to everybody. And it was in Steven Weber's book, The Success of Open Source, that he defines labor now, or he defines creativity as not division of labor. I guess how we make things, not as division of labor, but as division of innovation. Before, like, if you were working on an assembly line, you're working off blueprints, and the people who created it are a very small circle. Now we can all focus on creating, and the actual distribution is free and does not require an assembly line to reproduce it, you know. Once it's made, it's instantly reproducible without
there's almost like a inherent collaborative spirit to the underlying technologies of peer-to-peer, because not only for its distribution, but also what you're saying sounds interesting, that through peer-to-peer collaboration on a project, it moves it away from sort of highly centralized design environments, mm-hmm. to more open source type environments for creating things. Of course, it's harder to monetize that, mm-hmm. right? Which is something that I think our culture is sort of adapting to.
I also wrote on Wikipedia and how they would initialize production, because they're highly decentralized, but still it's all around, all of their articles come like from peer-based, and the way that they encourage changes is a recent changes tab, so that people are encouraged to review peers' work and make changes.
One thing that like I was most interested in and that I wrote a lot about is file sharing and like the future of file sharing, because like it's a very controversial subject, like the ethics behind future file sharing. Is it, should it be legal? Should it be illegal? Because basically the Pirate Bay is providing tons of like different files that are copyrighted, and people just, anyone, you don't even have to be a registered user, can just go and download that file. So basically, it's like just piracy, like immoral piracy. But at the same time, like all media is good media, despite like that saying, bad media is also good media, because they're still expanding the user base. So it's immoral in a sense, but it's also like helping the company, because like it's getting their name out there.
And one of the points that you brought up, I think, in your paper, right, was you know, some segment, and someone like Lawrence Lessig is, would back you up on this, that subsegment of the people that download commercial files, if they weren't free, they wouldn't, free to them, they wouldn't consume the media anyway. So
yeah,
it's sort of like they're being exposed to part of cultural production that if they had to buy it, they wouldn't be involved in it, maybe not buy some other sort of tangential or connected intellectual property or physical property that's related to that cultural object. So the fact that you know these peer-to-peer systems can sustain these old media that maybe they can't be easily gotten commercially or not at all, but you know maybe the intellectual property lives on, but that particular file doesn't. You know, that by getting that for free, even though it's copyrighted, then you want to see the new movie that's a remake or something like that, right? So it's an interesting time in which these temporalities are mixed.
And there are actually niches inside the peer-to-peer world that specialize in that. There's a whole file network. It's called Direct Connect. And actually, it's more like a collection of servers than sort of a network. But what you do is you share a requisite amount of your files. So you say 10 gigabytes or 20 gigabytes of my files are available for you. And then you can browse the entire collection, and the entire collection is normally, you know, black and white movies or, you know, really, really old photographs. It's just, you know, niches that you'd only, you know, you'd find all this information in there just because it's collected in one place.
Yeah, I have an example that's based on a physical media. So there's a lot of playable card games. I'm sure everyone's at least heard of Magic the Gathering, which was this really, I mean, there was Pokemon and Magic the Gathering were these playable card games, collectible card games. And in the early, they were sort of became really popular in the 90s. And a lot of them, there was a lot of interesting games that just didn't make it. They sort of made up one set of their cards and then they died off. And it's very hard to get them. And they don't, it's not like you could find them on eBay or that they would be really costly, because no one really wants them. They're not collectible in the same way that something like an old Magic card would be, because it's popular still. But you could go, I found someone who had like scanned all the old cards and like uploaded this archive so that people could cut their own cards and still play the game. There's no way to buy the game. It was sort of lost to history, but someone had taken this physical media, and it's copyright. I mean, in some technical sense, it's illegal, but there's a sort of weirdness about the way that that cultural information gets sustained and passed on, that it's hard to sort of see it as the same kind of immorality of like downloading a cam of a movie that you is just come out or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, like how there's so much vast variety of what you can get online, but there's also like a threat of viruses that sometimes people are afraid of committing to downloading, because that they're worried about like going onto a random website and trying to download something because they haven't heard about it from anywhere except from the website itself, claiming that it's authentic. But sometimes everything that we see on the internet is considered, like, they state that they're authentic, but a lot of times they have viruses inside them, so people are not willing to go through with it. So sometimes people have to have, like, a personal word-to-word, mouth-to-mouth kind of exchange before people can actually commit to downloading the actual file itself.
Or like one of the things that you talked about in your paper, I think not necessarily at length, but the way in which there's sort of a cultural layer mapped onto peer-to-peer file sharing, in which in order to sort of legitimize the file, there has to be conversation through like some post, you know, some sort of responses to it, like whether it's real or not, or ranking systems in which, you know, you have people who say, well, this is a legit, how many people have said this is a real file or something like that, right? That there's all these sort of emergent behaviors online that are trying to sort of negotiate the sort of radical distribution and speed and sort of non-identifiability of where these files came from.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, if you want to, like, after the movie came out, if you want to go download it, like, right after, sometimes the file will be uploaded, like, within, like, a few hours, but then sometimes within, like, the hour, the file is closed because people report the file as copyright, so sometimes it depends on...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had said a few other questions, but did anyone want to talk more about the particular area that they engaged? One of the things that I was really interested in is you know, we're dealing with some rapidly evolving technology, but it's always fun to sort of imagine, much like people were speculating what comes after Napster, you know, in the 90s, now we're sort of at a point where with, you know, sort of media response and, you know, internet service provider response to peer-to-peer technologies, I'm wondering what you guys think would be the next step, natural step in some of these peer-to-peer technologies?
Like, technically or, like...
Or either. So technically or also in terms of habits. I mean, this is kind of connected to...
I think, technically... What they want, like an ideal peer-to-peer world, would have like complete decentralization, have like the use of like servers or trackers. You'll just be able to find and connect to peers like directly, which I don't know if we have the possibility or the capabilities to do that as of right now. But in the future, I think people will be working on like just how to connect without or with anonymity or like being anonymous on the web, because just privacy is a big deal for everybody. And, like, culturally, I don't see file sharing being legal in the future because, like, the websites are based off, like, legal loopholes and avoiding, like,
or being in other countries
laws.
Which have different laws, correct? Yeah.
So I think that's what I think people are saying.
Well, there's a natural conflict with globalization, too, because laws in different areas... You know, like the internet and the networks span across, you know, jurisdictions. And so until sort of unify that, then I don't see there being any seamless transition.
Kind of make like a kind of like a neutral internet, like less regulation and more freedom of information and like outside of our world, because like international laws. I don't know if there's like many, I didn't really research that, but I'm sure there's international laws on copyrighted material. But if like allowed to grow, I think peer-to-peer would like start trying to be like less regulated internet, just have more freedom.
Yeah. I guess what I was going to say was going to be kind of the opposite. I feel we keep saying we're decentralized like within the internet, but that just makes us all centralized in the internet. You know, so maybe maybe it's just
point.
Like once the internet like develops enough of a persona or you know enough to be able to control itself, then like peer to peer would cease to exist, at least within file sharing. But I can't foresee how that would happen.
Yeah, I mean maybe this connects back to one of the earlier panels. The smartphone ability, Bobby was mentioning the smartphone ability to create these ad hoc virtual private networks that are just sort of, they're sort of surrounded by a Wi-Fi, you sort of like a Wi-Fi distance, and as you move through different virtual networks, if someone would create a way to sort of make a syncing up of those on the fly, then you would have this sort of mobile decentralized network that had no... There wasn't really. It's not, as you said. It's not centralized in the internet. Mm-hmm. It's central. It there is no center because it's a flow of virtual networks, you know, and sort of being able to. Then it would be about protocols of sharing different types of files and how different operating systems would relate. But that seems like something that would be the natural next step in my mind to sort of think about it. Because I think there is this push to centralization, return to centralization through computing. So instead of having computing on devices, we have computing on server farms, and you just get access to a feed of information. Cloud gaming being one of the sort of big examples of this. That sticks out to me.
I agree with you guys. I think, but I do think that peer-to-peer is going to, I don't see it taking really one track. I think it's going to take a whole bunch of tracks because before I researched for this paper, I thought that peer-to-peer was, you had basically a couple of clients, a couple of networks, and, they weren't specialized to do anything. It was just, a bunch of illegal stuff and a big pool, and you just find what you want. But there are actually networks that are being developed for specific people that want specific things. Like the Mute network, actually, when you ask for a package, it splits pieces of that package and sends it through the network. So it's obviously, best for very small networks. But it's there for people who are especially concerned with security. Because if somebody wants to monitor the network, they have to monitor each individual piece to see where the file is coming from and going to. And then there are client programs like iSwipe, Shareza, and Gift that have multi-network capabilities. So you have this client that can see, okay, so the file that you want isn't on this network, but it's on this one. And it's just sort of, I think it very much depends on what people decide they want, and then eventually somebody's going to make something that capitalizes on that.
One can hope. Okay, well, thank you.